Okay, I'd like to introduce our next presentation here at the Planet MicroCap Showcase in Vancouver in association with Small Cap Discoveries. Now presenting, we have Des Oakell from Enterprise Group.
Thanks, folks. Come on, Fritz, get up close. Well, thanks, folks. Again, my name is Des Oakell, President and Director of Enterprise, and in somewhere in the room here, we've got our Chairman and CEO, Len Jarosick, as well. So, hope you enjoy what we have to say today. Anyway, we'll just do the customary. Seen a few of these, imagine today. So, Enterprise Group, we're in our 20th year of business. We are an energy services provider. What we do is we bring the site infrastructure equipment to our clients who are the producers. Here's a roster of some of the folks that we're working with in the field every day. It's not a complete list, but it's some names that you'll probably recognize. What we do is we bring site infrastructure to them. So when they're on their project sites, these are drilling, completions, fracking, water transfer projects. At times when they're building their gathering system plants out in their very remote locations, they require the site infrastructure that we bring. And there's three sort of anchors to that site infrastructure. They are mobile power systems. They are in very, very remote areas, so they have no connectivity to any infrastructure, so we bring out the power systems. We bring out the mobile structures. These are the offices, medic buildings, command centers, even bathrooms. These project sites are operating 24/7 for several weeks to several months in length. So there's activity happening at these sites at all times. So they need these mobile structures for those purposes. The third anchor is lighting. These are 5 to 15 acre sites in most cases. So lighting is a bit of a big deal. Lighting is on 24/7, whether it's dark or night out, or dark or light out. And all of this activity needs to be powered 24/7 for as long as the project is happening. Important to note that our four subsidiaries that we operate through, they are complete site infrastructure opportunities. And we, not only do we provide the site mobilization out to the client's project site, but we operate and make sure that site is working and maintained. So when things are happening at site, our field techs will be out there, and it's our cost to get them making sure that these sites are working. That knowledge will come in handy when I start talking about our financial performance and how we've been able to expand our margins with some of the new methods that we're doing in the field. So we're going to talk about a few things here, and these are some important points that I want you to leave with. We are a leader in site mobile infrastructure to the Canadian energy sector, and we possess a current advantage of being the sole provider of low-emission site electrification systems. We have developed some new power systems that I'm going to talk at length about because it is the part of our business that is on a power lift at the moment. So we'll talk about that, the power systems at length. We're remarkably profitable with substantial margins, and we are in a rapid expansion trajectory. We are a provider to the most reputable and sizable producer clients in our sector. And of course, right now we're in very favorable trends in our energy market, and there's avenues for us to venture into some new markets we'll talk about briefly, which will foster considerable expansion organically and via acquisitions. Like I said, we're in our 20th year of business. We've made 9 acquisitions over that history. We've had a couple of amalgamations, and we've had 2 very timely dispositions that were done at very, very tremendous valuations for us during that 7-year downturn we had in the Canadian energy economy, which allowed us during that very difficult time to be financial nimble enough to start retooling our power fleet at a time where our sector hadn't picked up yet, which was back in 2018. So we do have a healthy balance sheet and liquidity, and this will facilitate our strategy for our continued growth. Very important note that management is a holder of just over 35% of the shares, and we're definitely interested in keeping that growing. So we do have history of significant insider buying, and share buybacks. We, during that seven-year downturn between, call it 2015 and midway through 2021, many of us in the energy sector or energy services players, our stocks were languishing. We couldn't get arrested in a brokerage firm's boardroom in those days. And we initiated our NCIB program and bought back 20% of the company at an average price of 26 cents. When nobody was giving us any favorability, we were able to do that. And we were cash flow positive through that seven-year downturn. We weren't earnings per share, but we were cash flow positive, and we were able to manage that kind of a buyback. So we are guided by a seasoned leadership team with a track record effective strategic implementation, savvy downturn navigation, and we do have a dedication to enhancing value for shareholders because we are shareholders ourselves. These are our four subsidiaries that we operate in the field with. We have two sort of expertise-based businesses, Evolution Power and Arctic Therm. We're going to talk, as I said, at length about our power projects. Westar and Hart Westar operates in northeastern BC. Hart operates in Alberta. They're two mirror image companies providing the full suite of site infrastructure to the client sites. As I said, there's some expertise here. Arctic Therm has some IP and patent-rich flameless heating technology. It's a little bit seasonal for obvious reasons, but we have a technology that is one of a kind in the world. But today we're mostly going to talk about the power systems here at Evolution. So if I could describe a site for you, when we bring out these mobile structures that they have for offices and command centers and medic buildings, and you can see here, this is a light tower right here. As I said, there'd be six to a dozen of these on site. Traditionally, these are diesel powered. So at the bottom of every stadium light tower would be a 6 to 20 kilowatt diesel generator times the 6 or 12 light towers that you'll have on site, all running 24/7 consuming diesel every day. And then, of course, you'll have 100 or 150 kilowatt diesel generators to power the building structures and other ancillary power needs of the client. So what it amounts to is anywhere from 10 to 20 individual diesel generators, 24/7 consuming diesel. We're talking thousands of liters of diesel fuel per day. What we started to do in 2018 is start looking to retool our power fleet, move away from diesel. And so what we've done is we started to bring on a singular natural gas fired generator. And we in-house, we built a microgrid that goes around the exterior of the project site, where all the site infrastructure seamlessly plugs into the microgrid. This gives the client a number of benefits. The benefits are, because we're moving to natural gas, and the majority of our clients are natural gas and gas liquids producers, there's an opportunity to utilize the natural gas that they're producing on site or nearby. Thus, they pay nobody for that fuel. Further than that, when we move from diesel to natural gas, there's massive emission reductions, especially harmful emissions. Certainly, when we move from diesel to natural gas, CO2 is reduced by well over 30%. Some of these emissions reductions are valuable to many of our clients, the tier one clients. We have some three-year-old legislation here in Canada that the federal government brought in, and it's called the LTS system, nicknamed the Heavy Emitter Act. And any industry, it doesn't have to be the oil and gas industry, but any industry, and you are producing anything more than 10 kilotons of CO2 annually, you are bound by this legislation. So you are obligated to monitor, track, and report your emissions. You need to be targeting under a particular threshold. You're under that threshold, there's opportunities to earn carbon credits. Right now, the government of Canada is pricing carbon at $80 a ton. That is set to go to 170 in the years to come. So any ability for these tier one industrial players to reduce under that that threshold, they can earn $80 credits when they're going to be priced at $170 in the future. So if they're actually not under that, they are financially penalized because they'll have to buy the credits to flatten themselves back out to that threshold. So it's one or the other. The quicker they can get under, the quicker they're earning them at $80, where they'll be valued on their balance sheet at $170 in the future. So that's the value to the emissions reduction that we talked about. So this is a bit of an illustration of what a site would look like, specifically a drilling site here. It's an abbreviated photo, and the reason why I say that, you can see in the back right those rectangular structures. Usually there'd be 5 to 12 of those structures on site, offices, command centers, medic shacks, these kinds of things. But you can see some of the site infrastructure that we bring, the generators. You can see the microgrid and the cabling, which is above ground on cones. It's very visible on purpose, and you can see the distribution panels. You can see the lighting. This is the site infrastructure that we bring out to these projects. So some of the benefits, we talked about a few of them, of transitioning from diesel to natural gas. But there are some significant cost savings, obviously, with increased site efficiency and, of course, the opportunity to utilize the client's natural gas is obviously a big component. I talked earlier about our ability there. It's our obligation to keep that site running for the length of the project, especially in winter, when you've got multiple diesel units on site. Once you get to past minus 25, diesel fuel starts to gel up. It creates lots of problems for the machinery, the diesel generator and so forth. It requires our field techs to run up the highway to site to deal with these mechanical issues, fuel issues. Maybe we're swapping out equipment, but that's our cost moving back and forth to the site for maintenance issues. When we bring on a natural gas unit, we're bringing on a natural gas turbine. Its uptime is 99.5%. This turbine that we're building our fleet around is a turbine that is capable to operate all the way down to minus 40, and it has tremendous fuel tolerance. In other words, it can take some of the impurities that we find out in the field with that field gas, or once refined from the plants that we're getting it from the client. So this particular turbine is almost set and play, and we are not called out to site for any kind of maintenance issues because of its reliability. So that reduced downtime allows us to improve our margins because our people aren't running up to site, which is our cost with dealing with these issues. The issues drop in numbers dramatically. I've got a couple of slides that deal with specifically the lower emission profiles and of course the cost of that in the coming two slides. But there's also, when we eliminate diesel, there's the handling of diesel and spill risk is completely eliminated. And of course those fuel deliveries, which are daily, we're talking thousands of liters of a tank truck coming up two and a half, three hours up the highway to these remote sites, delivering fuel, that's not required either. And of course, there's increased safety with everything I've been talking about with the fuel handling and of course the personnel and so forth. So this is a little bit of a cost comparison of a 350 kilowatt diesel generator and our equivalent sized gas turbine. In this case, I wanna make you aware that we're not utilizing the client's natural gas in this cost comparison. We're actually utilizing compressed natural gas brought on by a third-party company like a Certarus. Certarus is in the business of delivering industrial quantities of mobile vessels of compressed natural gas to sites. Superior Propane had bought Certarus, I believe, almost 2 years ago because of the compressed natural gas economy that is growing at a pretty rapid pace. So we're actually cost comparison. This cost comparison is relating to third-party gas coming to site. But anyway, back to this. So you can see at full load, the diesel generator is going to consume about 2,400 liters a day, approximately $1.60 a liter, almost $4,000 a day to the client for fuel costs. Over a three-month project, almost $350,000. our gas turbine with a third-party gas, compressed natural gas, paying a price of $7 an MCF. Our unit requires about 75, almost 75 MCF a day for operation. So the difference would be $523 a day for fuel costs. Over a three-month project, $47,000. So even if we're bringing third-party natural gas to site, we've got an 86% savings from diesel. If there's opportunities to use the client's natural gas, they pay nobody for that. So that zeroes out at that. So you can see the cost comparison for moving from diesel to natural gas, even paying a third party for compressed natural gas is a massive cost savings. Now we're looking at the same two generators, but what we're looking at here is the emissions profile when we move from diesel to natural gas. These are harmful pollutants. These are what makes air quality poor and some toxins. So particulate matter 2.5 and 10, SOx, NOx, volatile organic compounds, and carbon monoxide. As you can see, when you move across to the far right, these aren't 20 and 30% reductions. They're 85 to almost 100% reductions. So these are the kind of emissions reductions that are valuable to many of the tier one clients. But further than that, this is something we're living in a little more ESG conscious world. And this is something that many of the clients outside of CO2 reductions, these are the kinds of forward facing results that some of our certainly reporting issuers would like to show advancement in their ways that they operate in the field. So we'll talk a little bit about financial performance. This is the last four annual results that we've had. Obviously, this dates, this first column is 2020. This is a pandemic COVID year. Everybody's struggling to figure out how we deal with restrictions, but nevertheless, this is how 2020 looked. Now, the middle of 2021 is when the Canadian energy industry started to increase, the producers increased their CapEx for development of their assets in the field. That gets us services people working and supporting their activities. So halfway through that year, we start to see the increase, and we've been seeing increases in CapEx stage up since then. And you can see we're starting to deliver 20, sometimes 30% revenue increases annually. But what we're doing is we're growing our margins, and we're growing our margins in a pretty significant manner. As you can see, we're going from 24 to 27, 40 to 45 gross margin, and of course EBITDA following in concert all the way up to a 40% EBITDA in 2023. We just a month and a half ago, maybe 2 months ago, we announced our half year to 6 months. And this is the last 4 years of that. You can see that trajectory is very much intact. But what you can see in the last 2 years, pretty amazing gross margins and EBITDA margins that were part of our results here. You can see in 2023, 44% gross margins going to 51 for the first half of this year, and EBITDA is all the way up to 45%. Now, I keep a Canadian Energy Services profitability and margin log of certainly all the equipment players that would be a fair assessment or comparison. The best of that group is in the 25 to 27% EBITDA margin, with most of the pack being in between 15 and 19. So you can see the profitability we're generating here with this fairly exclusive class of equipment and offerings that we have at Enterprise. This is what's driving these margins. These margins where we're at right now, we feel we can sustain them out. We're going to be building because of customer demand. We're just going to be building and our fleet up. So you can assure yourself that we feel we can deliver on further revenue increases and these type of margins going out into the future. This is a bit of a financial snapshot of where we are today. This was done a few days ago, so a few things we've broken through. I think when I did this, our high was 197. I think we've been over 210 here recently. But generally speaking, this is the snapshot. But I want to, really drill down here on this total net equity line here. That at 52.4, this is how we treat our assets, our equipment assets on our balance sheet, which is treated with IFRS methods. Our debt facility is an asset-backed facility, and part of the terms of that facility is that we get our equipment assets appraised by a third party once a year with a six-month desktop revision halfway through the year. So we're intimately aware of our orderly liquidated value of our equipment assets. And it's not 52.4, it's more like 73.4, accounting for those third-party appraisals. So you can see our net book value adjusted for these recent appraisals are not 88 cents a share, but it's more like $1.24. If you were to disperse the company, we'd be, and that's net of debt and so forth. So you can see that net book value is at a very, very healthy $1.24 before we account for the position we are at in our segment and the cash flow and profitability that we're generating. So where are we today? We get a lot of, where are we in the energy sector? How many of our clients or how much of the industry has adopted these methods? Well, we feel that we're about approaching maybe 15% of the total available market in the energy sector. So we have a lot of producer clients that still have yet to make the diesel transition to natural gas. So we're very, very early in that stage, and we have a big road ahead of us. There's also some adjacent industries that we're starting to look at and qualify, and those are mining, both at the build stage and the operational stage. There are the away from grid construction projects. We've done many of them, so we know how well that fits. And there's also temporary and emergency availability of power for emergency and temporary use. So there's some other adjacent industries that we'll be looking at as we move into the future. So in summary, we've achieved this leadership position in our industry. We boast significant profitability with substantial margins resulting in robust cash flow. The Canadian energy landscape is experiencing rapid expansion with investments in LNG serving as a significant driver of growth. And of course, an escalating demand for equipment, skilled labor, and expertise has improved our pricing. Our robust balance sheet and a healthy cash flow will underpin our current expansion strategy. And of course, we're guided by a seasoned and deeply dedicated management team. We had a news release here just after market today, and that was outlining the relationship we have with our manufacturer of our turbines. There's very few microturbine manufacturers in the world. There's only three or four, and we've tried them all. The reason why we're building our fleet around the Flex unit, Flex Energy unit, is because of its ability to operate in extreme temperatures and its fuel tolerance. All of the other turbine manufacturers that we have experienced, they need perfect fuel, which is something you can't guarantee out in the field. And the other problem is they start to fail in extreme cold weather. Experiencing 18 degrees and below, they start to fail. Those are not what our fleet should be made up of. So we've been building up this Flex unit fleet. They came to us with an opportunity to solidify that arrangement where we are in the short-term mobile sense. They are a manufacturer. They sell and long-term lease for permanent installations. So they stay in their lane, we stay in ours, and we actually work together in the Canadian market. Right now, it's for the Western Canadian two provinces, but we'll be working on some other arrangements with that manufacturer. They make the gold standard in microturbines. So this news release today is one that secures our moat around what we've all already developed, because we are the only natural gas supplier of mobile power in Canada at the moment. So this first mover advantage we have has now been fortified by this exclusive agreement. that's pretty much the end of it. I guess I'm on the time clock here. So are there any questions that we can okay, there's a
we have time for maybe one or two questions.
Okay.
Thank you. Can you tell us how many you've sold and what's your capacity?
Well, first of all, we daily bill. So we own our equipment and our clients utilize our equipment and we daily bill for them. We are between 26 and 30 natural gas systems at the moment and growing. Does that answer what you need?
How large do you think you can build the fleet of natural gas turbines before, you know, you sort of hit peak, I guess, demand or capacity?
Well, like I said, I think in the energy sector alone, I think we're scratching the surface. We're barely fit. I mean, I just said, you know, we've got 26 to 30 natural gas systems. We could be on hundreds of sites. So there's lots of run room here.
So you have many pieces of equipment. Which one is the most profitable and it's sustainable for the business?
Well, our whole equipment classes of equipment, they're good margin businesses. The more exclusive units that we have, like our exclusive heating trucks, the flameless heating trucks, and our mobile power systems are something that nobody else has. So we are getting a premium for those. And we feel with this fortified moat that we've built now with this exclusive arrangement, we'll be able to maintain those higher margin or those rates that are, you know, getting us those higher margins. Does that answer your question? Yeah. All right. Thank you. Appreciate it.
And if you guys have any further questions, again, the one-on-one room will still be open later today.